Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we take stock of some of the things of note that happened this year, probably the biggest story in publishing was, at least arguably, Jonathan Franzen's novel Freedom. After its publication, Franzen appeared on the cover of Time, the first time a novelist graced the cover in over a decade. And yet, when the National Book Award was announced last week, Freedom was not one of the finalists. The winner was Lords of Misrule, a novel published by a tiny independent press. And earlier this year, the book Tinkers, also published by a small press, won a Pulitzer Prize. In 1 year, two books published by small independent presses ran away with big literature prizes. Does that mean anything for the future of publishing? Well, it may be too soon to tell, but in a year when Oprah's book club is coming to an end and when the New York Times is establishing an e-book bestsellers list, much is changing in the world of publishing. Richard Nash used to run the New York indie press Soft Skull. Harold Augenbraum is the executive director of the National Book Foundation, which presents the National Book Award. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Harold, what's the purpose of awards in the publishing industry?
Well, I think there are different purposes to different people. One of them, is, of course, is recognition of high quality. And I think that that's what we would tend to think is the most important part of it. But I think some of it is also marketing and sales. A writer might actually say to you that recognition of their work is the most important thing. It's different at different periods in your life. A young writer, it might vault them to a different status in the whole community.
Should the prize not, as some people argue, be a way of uniting public opinion around a single book that's a clear favorite, like Freedom by Jonathan Franzen?
Well, I think that there are different prizes, and that, you know, I think that the Pulitzer Prize does different things from the National Book Award and the Penn Faulkner and the National Book Critics Circle, and I think it really is left up to the judges to a certain extent.
Flesh that out for us, because those, you know, are all three very big famous book awards, and the average listener probably doesn't make a distinction in terms of them looking to do different things.
Well, I think you look at the judging and the way the judging is done on each of them. The Pulitzer Prize, for example, has three judges. It doesn't necessarily have writers in the genre. For example, it could be critics, it could be librarians. And then the final decision is made by the board of the Pulitzer Board. The National Book Critics Circle, the decisions are made by the board, and they're critics from all over the country, so they're people who have a lot of experience with a lot of different books. With the National Book Award, the decisions are made only by writers in that genre.
Are awards to indies political pushback to the corporate commercialization of publishing?
It's kind of hard to tell because from my point of view, I mean, looking at the National Book Awards, I have absolutely no idea what the judges are discussing. Once the judging panel is constituted, we say to them, okay, just go out there and pick the best books. There are 300 books, for example, in fiction. You just pick the best book that you can find. Now, are there political discussions going on behind closed doors? I don't know. Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? Probably.
Now, Richard, you're a big promoter of the idea that publishing has to change, that the current model no longer works. You're developing a startup called Cursor, which is a portfolio of social publishing communities. What do you think about the political question, and how would you like to see the publishing industry change?
Well, I think, you know, my instinct, I share Harold's instinct that there are political conversations probably going on privately amongst the judges. But it's cultural politics. It's about what is going to advance the cause of meaningful discussion around culture. I would not argue that corporate publishers cannot produce great culture. They do all the time. But it is increasingly difficult for them to do so. And that has opened an increasing amount of space for small independent publishers to be publishing the writers the corporate publishers can no longer effectively afford to.
And so Cursor, your startup, described as a portfolio of social publishing communities. What's a social publishing community?
It's jargon. It's jargon for an effort to recognize that there are a lot of writers out there who are not being represented in the world of book publishing, that most of the writers who submit their work to publishers are summarily rejected with a form rejection slip, and there's a lot of intelligence and feedback being wasted by basically telling it to the hand. And so we want to try to incorporate writers much more fully into the process of making decisions around what's published without wanting to at all to abandon the judgment and discretion of experts.
But somebody's got to throw the money at it.
Exactly. And that's, you know, the buck stops somewhere. A pure American Idol model of decision-making, a committee model of decision-making, frankly, tends to produce lowest common denominator decisions.
Harold, there's been a significant decrease in the number of professional book reviewers. New York Times didn't even review Tinkers, the book that went on to win the Pulitzer, and they are relatively staffed up, obviously, at the Times. Many reviewers have been replaced by bloggers and Amazon reader reviewers, which you refer to as word of mouth. For people who aren't in the publishing world, how do you hear about books?
For you, if you're not in the publishing world,
yeah.
I think that there's still a significant amount of word of mouth. I think that the blogs that people read are proliferating. I think that friends, whether it's on Facebook, I think social media are very, very important. And they're very important even for the publishers to get the word out nowadays.
It's a democratization of reviewing to some degree. Does it diminish the quality and the usefulness of it, in your opinion?
Well, I think that one of the things that people have pointed out is that the long-form review is diminishing. There are fewer of them, decreasing across the country. And I think that that's an important thing for people who are either in the business or are looking for in-depth understanding of the way these books work. But that the idea that there is an online conversation going on all over the place may actually give people a better idea of other books that they might not have discovered because they were controlled to a certain extent by a limited number of reviewers.
And the autobiography of Mark Twain, Richard, was published this year by the University of California Press with an initial run of 7,500 copies, that's all. It's now a smash hit, so much so that the publisher can't print it fast enough to meet holiday bookstore demand. So bookstores are without one of their potential bestsellers, and customers are forced to walk away empty-handed. Is it that the book industry can't get the equation right? Is it that the big reviewers missed it and, you know, the crowd took over?
It's a messy, you know, the industry, frankly, behaves an awful lot like the auto industry. It is a one-size-fits-all model.
Can they get a government bailout?
Minus the government bailout. It's the auto industry without the government. It is a long supply chain. It takes 12 months, typically, to get a book published. You have to decide 9 months before a book is going into the stores what its cover is going to be. It is a very slow, industrial, manufacturing-oriented business, perversely enough, for a business that is theoretically just about words.
It was, but do you think that e-books are going to change the nature of literature, the nature of writing, not just the nature of distribution?
Very, very, very slowly. It takes a long time for a culture to figure out what to do with new containers.
Do you have an opinion about that, Kyle?
Well, I think it's going to add to the writing. I don't necessarily think it's going to change it completely. And the time element is going to continue because it does take a while to get things right, or as right as you possibly can get them. It's not necessarily only the manufacturing process. It's the process. It's the editorial process. I actually am of the belief that the messiness that we call the literary publishing industry in particular is a good thing. If we systematize it too much, then we risk hurting the art form itself.
Mm-hmm.
And messiness is not always a bad thing.
And you wrote that Henry James used to sell several thousand copies of his books. F. Scott Fitzgerald was basically out of print for years after his death. If we weren't grumbling, it wouldn't be literature. So basically it's more of the same, but in a different wrapper?
I think it's part of the culture of any culture industry that there are going to be differences of opinion, let's call it. And those differences of opinion are a good thing in culture because they create these the new ideas and new thoughts based on that dialectic. And it's a good thing for us, I think, in any cultural industry.
Richard Nash used to run the New York Indie Press Soft Skull. Harold Augenbraum, who just spoke last there, is the executive director of the National Book Foundation, which presents the National Book Award. Big changes in the publishing industry. Let's just hope everybody keeps reading books. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.